And I also don't want to take away from someone else's, like, but that's part of my overthinking. Like, the other person wouldn't mind. The other person wouldn't even know because they wouldn't have been asked. They would have asked me. But, like, there's the part overthinking thing that kind of does that sometimes.
When a cast and, like, when a game or a series goes right, like, it's hard to do it perfect. I don't think I've ever done it perfect. And there's only, I would argue, a couple of casts and, like, only a couple of casters in the world who can do it perfectly. Everyone brings their own thing. Everyone makes a little mistake, etc. But, like, all of that sort of stuff just shows that we're human and shows that we're people. And I think that's quite cool. And it was absolute cinema. The mask slipped a little bit
on
YouTube as well. Shut up. God damn it.
Good. That is really good. All right, lads, welcome back to Inside MC, the podcast where I sit down with an amazing guest consistently as of right now, bi-weekly, which is pretty cool. However, this week I'm joined with someone who is super cool. There's someone who I only recently got introduced to, like, properly, as in, I think it was, funny enough, actually, I got introduced to them through a Callum CPK Marvel Rivals stream, so it's very recent. I am joined with the amazing Cody Kirsts.
Amazing is a bold statement, but yes, I am here. Hi, Albert. Thank you very much for having me. And the Marvel Rivals stream was great, and me and Jivik were definitely not held against our will until CPK finishes jamming.
At least you had fun, right?
Yeah, it was great fun. 4 a.m. I definitely didn't have work that morning, promise. Oh god,
which we'll talk about later on.
For sure I
told you I had, like, a little twist for this podcast. Well, kind of, I kind of hinted at it. I had a little bit of a twist for this podcast. Normally when I go into podcasts, I have, like, little notes wrote down about people, as in, like, so I roughly know what they did a few years back, if they had anything big going on. I have nothing wrote down for you.
That makes sense, which is a good thing.
Because this podcast is going to be, like, very vibey. We're kind of just going to go back and forth about stuff. I think we share quite similar interests, all things considered. So I think it's going to be fun.
I'm here for it. I mean, I feel like I'm a little bit out of left field for most people, right? Because historically, at least from some of the videos that I've looked at and podcasts that you've done before, it's usually the MCYC scene, right? Would that be a mistake to call that out? Like, am I one of the first people outside of that space truly that you're interviewing? Or
actually, funny enough, so I'm gonna say yes, but at the same time, you're also actually a lot more in the scene than so many people I've interviewed. So for instance, I had the Spiffing Brit on, who yes has done a bit of Minecraft stuff, but
is a
Minecraft creator. I had the Opera GX admin on, the Twitter admin.
What? Yeah. Okay, I need to watch that one. So that's something. Epic.
And obviously, I had Tommy and his mum on as well at one point, Sarah Simons, who is
in. She's in the, like, MC scene, that counts.
Yeah, she's like exactly an MC grader, is she? So, I mean.
I'll tell you what, her tweets bang. So, listen, she's very much in the MC scene. She definitely counts.
Hold up, let me quickly look on the Inside MC website. Hold up. Yes.
You gotta check the full list to make sure you're not missing anyone.
Yeah, like, I feel like I'm missing, there's like a name in my head that I have, but I can't like put my finger on it. Oh, I had a Milo GSA, who's kind of in the Minecraft scene with the whole, like, speed running. Tilly cool. Superdog, who is more of a cosplayer than Minecraft. And Mr. Mystery, who's made, like, a bunch of, like, stuff for me, like, like custom spray paint cans and stuff. There's a few other names, but I won't keep going on, otherwise we'll be here forever. But yeah, you're up there as, like, one of the not so Minecraft, but still a lot more Minecraft than some people I've had on, essentially.
Nice.
Before we get into yapping more, because I feel like this is going to be really fun, I'm actually genuinely, I think, like, I don't know, like, I know obviously we haven't really interacted much, and obviously I don't know as much about you as other people. I just think, like, okay, I like CPK quite a lot. Like, I've always been a really big fan of his content, and just his vibe.
Cal's all right, he's fine, I suppose.
And Fulham, like, I like both CPK and Fulham, and, like, it feels like you're quite connected with them, not like in regards to all being a big trio of best friends, but I feel like, I don't know, you just give off the same vibes. There you go. So
yeah.
You know, I'm complimenting you.
we take those. I mean, yeah, it's quite funny. I met CPK for the first time at one of the Twitch cons. I think it might have been Amsterdam. I met CPK. If not, it would have been... I think it was. Yeah, so it would have been Amsterdam just after COVID. And that's when I first met Cal. And then after that, I didn't meet Fulham until 2023. which
is Paris.
Yeah, but it wasn't TwitchCon that I met him at. So there is a, it was last year actually, it was 2024. So there's a Counter-Strike event that was hosted in London. It was one of the Blast events, and him and CPK, so Fulham and CPK, were there. They got like VIP tickets, because obviously they're Fulham and CPK, they get VIP tickets. But
this
I had
be a Fulham and
work.
CPK fanboy podcast, just for anyone listening, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, it absolutely is. We're going to pivot.
Oh, okay,
But, like, I first met them when, like, together, like, outside of, like, a Twitch standpoint at that event. And Cal recognized me because I had VIP from working with Blast before and just been like, hey, can I have some tickets? And they went, yeah, sure. I was like, cheers. And then I got introduced to Fulham for the first time, like, IRL properly. And then from there, like, we hung out at like, Rotterdam and some of the other events as well, which is cool. So yeah, like I get on really well with them. Obviously, I'm always in Cal's chat for reasons of one, Cal's a good mate, and two, it's another reason which I'm sure we'll get into in a bit.
It's a bit like your job, I've heard, essentially.
Allegedly. That is true, but we'll move into that in a bit. Go on, hit me.
Now that the fanboying is over, well, at least for the most part.
Absolutely.
We should probably do what we normally do for the intro, which we just completely skipped over.
Sorry, I've derailed us.
No, this is why I don't have any notes, Cody, okay? Because I knew this podcast was going to be all over the place, and I'm sorry for it. I have been working long hours, right? I am not tired, but I've been working long hours. I'm barely at home. I see my work colleagues more than I see my own family. It's gotten to that stage, all right? So, who are you? What do you do? And if you have a fun fact about yourself today or about anything in general, it's your choice.
You've dropped the fun fact question last minute. My God. Okay. I'm going to be racking my brain for that.
No, it's great because it doesn't have to be about you. It can just be like, I can give you
just
my
something
fun
in general.
Fact about you think as well. It can be anything
okay,
in general.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, intros. Hi, guys. I'm Cody. I go by Cody Casts. I am a freelance commentator, primarily focused around Counter-Strike. I've been doing that for the last 7 years. Started just yapping away for some online games for a North American team, and a few years later it's changed to me being one of the voices that worked in the major cycle for qualifications to the actual major, so the RMRs if people follow Counter-Strike. Over that time as well, I also have popped up on a few MCYC Twitch streams every now and then. You might have seen me in the background of some of the TwitchCon streams from Becky and Louise, and also most recently at the Tubathon Esports Bootcamp, where I was casting with Jivik and then racing in the Grand Prix the following week. So yeah, I've been popping up every now and then, and just honestly happy to be here and happy to be surrounded by some very, very talented people.
Nice.
My fun fact, I didn't think about my fun fact for any of that at all. My fun fact is
to give you a fun fact. What do you think?
Hit me with your fun fact and I'll see if my one even reaches that point.
So did you know that the way the castle stairs are built, going up like in a swirly to the right essentially, so that when people were attacking they could only attack in single form, as well as this, if they were going up, because they're going up to the right, they had to hold the shield in their right hand and attack with their left, whereas if you're defending the castle you're going down on someone and you're holding the shield with your left hand and attacking with your right, which is your stronger hand.
That is interesting. I do fear that it falls apart instantly when there's a left-handed person.
Well, not really, because it's still like you're still defending going down, so you still have the higher ground, like with the shield and stuff.
I have allegedly heard through the medium of memes that having the high ground is beneficial in combat. Shout out everyone. My fun fact, because I am still useless at fun facts, is that I'm currently drinking a Summer Fruits water drink after almost completely swearing off fizzy drinks because healthy, and I'm old. There you go. That's been the meme of recent memory. My birthday was yesterday.
It's your birthday? Well, from recording, yeah.
It was. data recording. It was my birthday yesterday. Full doxing myself. I am now 28 years old, which is apparently I'm a grandpa when it comes down to when it comes down to the Minecraft scene and also kind of esports as well. Like a lot of the people inside of this space, not on the commentary standpoint, but like from a player standpoint, we've got some like 17-year-old absolute diamond talents. And it's like, yeah, great. This kid is 11 years younger than me and he's better at this game than I ever would be. So yeah, cheers for that one.
But like you said just before the podcast, the whole thing of, oh, like you have to be young to get into content creation isn't really a thing anymore.
You just don't.
Like you can really
No, it's gone.
I think it used to be an idea. Now with how much the internet has like evolved and stuff, like I always like to refer to Hermitcraft, who are full of like older creators. And they have that older audience of Minecraft viewers or just viewers in general, and they have the younger audience as well, but they have the older, like the older creators are more likely to get the older content watchers, essentially, I've realized.
No, I agree. I think it's a very broad kind of spectrum for people to be able to find someone who they can resonate with, and age isn't always that, right? But it can definitely be a factor when you are my age or you're like even slightly older and you're trying to find some like fantastic content creators. There might be some great content from people who are relatively young, but it might feel odd to like fully support and get behind some of these younger talents. So being able to find people who are a similar sort of age and then grow up with them. Like I grew up with the Sidemen, watching.
I'm not that age,
Well, this is the thing, but like they're very close to my age. Like, I remember watching KSI when I was in like secondary school and like watching all of his FIFA content and like all of the guys then grow up. And it feels like I've been able to grow up alongside that, those people, and like the same sort of thing with your cast as well. Obviously the Oddcast, they started relatively late, even back then when they kicked off. So yeah, really interesting to see the way that like the content field has grown. But we are seeing on the flip side of that, loads of people start super young as well and like finding success, which is so, so cool. If they are happy to do it, go for it. Send it, ship it, just make something you're passionate about.
Exactly. I think in regards to like kind of twisting the age thing into like a resonating thing, if that's the right word to use, is I think like, for instance, I think the reason why I've only known you for like 2 months, right? And I've already invited you on the podcast and I've already wanted to chat and I'm messaging you about stuff. Like, I think the reason I found such an interest in you, or like in the least weird way possible, right? I don't want to come off as this fanboy who's over obsessed. I hope you realize what I'm saying. And like,
yeah,
you
know, go and hit me.
The reason I've become so interested in you and your content, I think, is because of the casting, which we'll talk about later on, because I know you have a question yourself. And I don't want to, like, I want the podcast to be free flowing, but there are a few like little things I want to get to first before we muddle up into that. I think that's why, like, I think I'm so interested in the fact that you cast and that you do this. And like, I've only seen very little bits of your casting. For instance, like, I watched like a VOD back of the CSGO from like, I think last year or something. So I watched that. Right. Obviously, I watched a bit of the Tubathon where I got mentioned. I mean, kind of the goat. Listen, for mentioning me. I appreciate you.
We got to do the shout out. You helped out with some of the questions around Minecraft and bedboard and not bedboards. Oops, wrong name. There we go. There goes my chance of ever getting
meant to be there, were you? I don't know if that's public knowledge or not. But
No. We can. Is now the right time to start talking about Tubathon? Do you want to transition into Tubathon conversation?
We can muddle back to the normal questions later on. I think, to be fair, the questions that I normally ask are basic ones that I think you can answer quite quickly. So yeah, let's talk about the Tubathon.
Yeah. So obviously, a strong majority of people may know me from the Tubathon. I think that was like my kind of like my push into the Tubosphere that is now what we're calling it. I've made that up on the spot. But like, it was really cool. So I saw that Tubbo was asking for casters. I had met Tubbo a couple of times at previous events. We get on really well. And then he realized after saying, yes, let's get you involved for Valorant on day one. When I met him at the Rebel Gaming Sphere in London, he was like, oh, wait, it's you. Not realizing that Cody Cast and the person that he knows from like Twitch cons and that sort of stuff was the same person. And I was like, bro, are you kidding me? And then from that point, Erin, my goat, messaged me and was like, hey, do you want to stay for the next couple of days actually and do some League and then do some Minecraft? And I was like, absolutely, get me in. The only caveat being, I probably can't stay for the League day because one, I don't know anything about League of Legends, and two, I'm working at my job. So I had to disappear for the day and leave Jivik alone. But I think it worked out well. Jake came in, and Jake has a rife of experience there for Tubathon. Sleeping on camera was an interesting thing, which was something that we all ended up doing at the boot camp, purely because I mean, Tubbo's evidently a masochist and wants us to just sleep in the middle of this like PC gaming area all together and be like, night guys, night, which was very odd but also very cool as well. It was a full vibe being able to hang out with everyone, and then like next day crack in to just more games and seeing those dynamics of like team building grow over the following days was great, because a lot of those people hadn't met each other before. And being able to like spend 3 days with someone on a team and talk to them day in, day out, definitely like helped forge some relationships. We saw that from a lot of the players after as well, being like, these guys are great, like made some friends for life, which is always nice. So, yeah, that event was super sick, and just shout out to Erin and all of the prod team and to Tobi for bringing me on for that one. It was great fun.
Since we're such like big CPK fanboys, what's the deal with him and Tubbo trapping him in rooms? Like, why does that keep happening?
I don't know. Like, the meme is that they can't rent the venue without him because he's the only one who can like be a reasonable adult. Is the joke that that we've been saying.
I see it.
But then he got voted off day one of Watchbox, and it's like, true, well, okay, yeah, never mind then. So he signed the papers, and then he left.
They've been
cheeky size. But no, it's, I don't know. It seems to be a running theme at this point, and I expect for Tubathon, what is it, 5 next year, we'll be having the same things of CPK locked in rooms.
I hope he does like another one of those esports, like the Red Bull boot camps, because that was really sick.
I really hope they do as well. I think that event was cool, and I think they learned quite a bit from it as well, which is super useful, and then can potentially even build some bigger stuff. So we'll have to wait and see what that builds up to. But excited that even this first step has been taken to be able to put like esports more inside of this world, because outside of like your MCCs, it feels like the Minecraft community doesn't commit too hard into the tournaments.
Why haven't you made a video about that?
From an outside perspective. Oh, really? That's great. I will. Yeah, there we go. I'm showing that I haven't watched this video. So
No, it's fine. Don't worry. See, the thing is, the Inside MC videos don't really get a crazy amount of views. Like the do all thing the same like the Jubilee ones do. But this one was titled like something along the lines of like the future of Minecraft esports. Because fun fact, Minecraft does actually have an esports. On the education edition, they run like a Minecraft esports type format for schools across the world.
Oh.
Yeah, which is cool on paper, but then at the same time, it's kind of badly done, firstly, and secondly, they don't really put too much attention into it. So we have all these Minecraft tournaments, but at the same time, like, I kind of see why no one's ever really pushed the competitive format, because realistically speaking, a lot of people, firstly, will say no because of the pressure. But a lot of people, like, when I see, like, throw an idea out there, say no because they didn't want the pressure of, like, competitiveness, right? Or, like,
oh, yeah, that's fair enough. Bad.
And also, once you put money on the line, it kind of becomes a whole different story. The reason MCC Twitch Rivals, and I've always said this, is not the only reason, but the reason it does so well in regards to like no toxicity and stuff is because everyone bar the winning team is getting paid the same, and the winning team is only getting paid like $500 more or so. So I think Minecraft esports, there's definitely a possibility in the future. The only problem is it's Minecraft scene isn't competitive enough in a sense of like it's not, you just can't get like your Val teams or your CSGO teams where people are just coming out of the ranks and being good at the game. The people who are coming out of the ranks and being good at the game aren't interested or aren't being invited to these competitive events.
It will always be like a creator led space, and I think that is to its benefit, where not 100%. Only is it not only is it like semi-competitive, where you have all of these players who are known to do really well, Fruit being one of them, like Fruit Berries, like Coraway and Fulham, like they're known inside of these spaces to being good like, at Minecraft, and especially when it comes to like competitive stuff. And then you also have their personalities come through, and like all of the other talent and everyone coming in from like a streamer perspective. And I think that's the reason that people watch them, is that yes, they want to see some like cool Minecraft, but also they just want to see their favorite streamer do well, and they want to like root for them in an event. And that's like a big thing on Twitch, right? Is the and like other social media streaming platforms, but you know, we don't talk about them. Like it's all about supporting the person that you are there for, like the streamer that you are following. And like you'll be ride and die for those people no matter what they're doing and what event that they're taking part in. And that's very similar for Minecraft and like that level of competitive scene with like MCC and that sort of stuff. I miss MCC. Bring back more MCC.
Well,
MCC's,
I mean, it's coming fun. Back, isn't it? The first MCC returns on May 3rd. Then they've also got the Twitch Rivals as well. So we have two coming up already.
I know.
Is coming out on the 25th. So next week, next Saturday, MCC is happening.
Nice.
If you're listening, that'll to be cool. Release day. How did it feel like? So just to say, like keep on theme of like you and the Tubathon. You've, as far as I'm aware, you've never casted Minecraft before. So what was that like?
Nope. It was good. Honestly, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. I thought I'd be a little out of my depth because there was a lot going on that I didn't truly understand. So I'm a very old head when it comes to Minecraft. Like, played in alpha.
Sorry.
Huh?
So not just Minecraft, am I right?
Listen here, you. but like... I played Minecraft when it was still in alpha. I remember when items didn't have names and that coal was called charcoal. And like, these are the things that I remember of Minecraft, like old Minecraft. And then the end was added. And that was like, the end being added to the game was the last time I truly played Minecraft. Like, properly. And I can't even remember how many years that's been. I've dabbled back and forth. I pop back in every now and then. Obviously, I watch a lot. But don't play it as much as I probably should, because that game is fantastic. So then being asked to do like a competitive cast of a Minecraft event was like, okay, we're going for it. I've watched enough MCC. I've watched enough like Minecraft streams where I can hold my own. I know what's going on. I can yap away and be all right with it. But yeah, I was a little bit concerned because we know that these damn Minecraft fans, these dastardly Minecraft fans, they will call you out if you start talking about the wrong thing. And that's why, thankfully, I had you in my back pocket to be able to tell me about running at 95 degree angles and that sort of thing.
Like, yeah, I bet you got a lot of aura credits for talking about. I mean, you'd already, I'm pretty sure, as far as I'm aware, like Fruitberries or someone had already mentioned it to you beforehand, but just to like kind of the confirmation.
He told me about inventory jamming. He taught me how to inventory jam at like 6 a.m. of the event. Everyone else was asleep and he was like on his PC in the corner running on like, I can't remember what the server's called and I really need to find it out, but it was like a parkour server. And he was like showing me how to inventory jam and I was like, dude, this is actually kind of sick. So that will probably be the way that I get into like multiplayer Minecraft. It's not just like I've made a server with my friends and we're gonna build a house and get netherite and then kill the dragon, like a different type of MC, right? But the event was super fun. Thankfully I had Jivik there, who is one, a fantastic caster and should get hired for more events, especially around Minecraft and even other things if he wants to move into that aspect, but also very, very like nice to just talk to in those aspects. And I feel like we worked super well together. And that led to some fun times being had for all involved, and thought it was great fun. And actually, if there's more Minecraft events that, that people want me to yap over, I'll do it. Yeah, why not? It'd be a laugh.
Jivik's resume is kind of amazing, right? Their debut casting was for MCC Twitch Rivals. Then they did
his first ever casting event. Yeah.
Then they did the Minecraft and MCC Ender Cup, and then they did the Tubathon. Like, bro, what is this? What is this resume? Like, you've just you're casting the three biggest events that happen. Like, allegedly the three biggest events, or quote unquote the three biggest events. There you go. To happen.
I think that's fair. I think you're probably right. Like,
there's a few like obviously the end like, of it was massive. Downplay some things, but like
no, absolutely not. And maybe this is my, and again, maybe this is like my naivety inside of the scene showing. But like MCC Twitch Rivals is, I think,
the biggest.
And maybe I'm wrong. The biggest event every year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah,
they do two a year, and it always draws a fantastic crowd. Anyone who goes to those Minecraft, have you been to a live Twitch Rivals?
I was there in Rotterdam. I was fortunate enough through Avondale to get some VIP seating. The issue is
so good.
you were there, I assume, yeah?
Yeah, so I was there, like, thankfully, we had the Tubbo DJ set as well, just before the MCC, which was funny. The fans that come out for those events, it's so great to see that everyone's like super invested and super hype, and it's always the Twitch Rivals event that gets like the most people in the arena. So if you guys listening were there, hats off to you, because you make those events and you make like everything that the Twitch Rivals team do to be able to put on like stuff at TwitchCon worth it. So yeah, really, really cool to see that. And then of course Ender Cup was nuts. And then of course you got the biggest one of all, just the Tabo the Esports Bootcamp, which clearly overshadows everything. And it's obviously because I was there. This is clearly sarcasm before anyone tries to take this and you know counts me on Twitter. It was really cool to be involved with it. Jack's doing a great job. So fingers crossed he gets more opportunities to be able to do it. And if he isn't getting hired for this most recent Drivers MCC, I'm going to be writing in the streets of Rotterdam.
See, that's the problem as well, right? It's like, for instance, you know, you mentioned it before the podcast. I also cast, as in like I do like the SMC castings. I don't know if you've seen any of the VODs. I think I linked one to you.
I've clicked in and I've watched some of it. It's very good.
Yeah, I do the production on my own PC, so I swap between POVs. I run everything on two monitors and a low end PC. So it's like it's pretty impressive, yeah. I'd say. But like that's the issue. Like I'd love to cast more events, and I'm not saying like I'd want to do it over someone else. This isn't, so don't like twist the words. Not you. I just mean listen. I don't like get it twisted. It's like for instance, I'd love to cast like an MCC, or I'd love to cast the top of one thing. But then there's always going to be Cody cast. There's always going to be Jack Jivok. There's always going to be Corey Wade. There's always going to be Kara Corvus. Like again, I'm not saying oh I wish I got it and they didn't. I'm just saying like, and I'm not saying also the reason I don't get it is because they do it, because obviously all four names I mentioned there are way better than I am. I think I'm good. I don't think I'm like levels. This isn't even me being humbling. I just don't think I'm up to your guys' level, but I think I'm decent. It's just at the same time, do you get what I mean? Like, there's always going to be more reliable, Twitch are going to trust people over me, essentially. There you go.
I absolutely understand where you're coming from. And my challenge then to you is back yourself. And this is not coming from Cody Cast, who's done the Minecraft stuff. This is coming from Cody Cast, who's done 7 years of casting experience. Like, hone your craft, keep doing it, and keep realizing and look at these events and think, okay, this is where I could add something here. Like, this is where I can like make something different. And like it can feel bad because it's like, but these people are doing a great job and everyone does a great job, and even Counter-Strike people do a great job. But like, you're looking at these events, you've always got to think, okay, no, this is my niche. This is how I can fit into this, and like how I can bring something to the table which other people don't. So find that, and then you'll be able to flip that, and then you'll be able to bring that to people and be like, hey, listen, this is what I can do for you, and I can make that your entire production better, and you need to just back yourself on it. And I'm confident if you keep doing it, you'll find it, and then you will be doing Rivals at some point.
I think that's like the part and part thing, for instance. Like, I sat right in front of that Kara and oh god, I'm so sorry that I forgot the third name, because he's also amazing. I follow him on Twitter, but I just can't remember the name. I'm so sorry.
Is this a Rotterdam?
Yeah, the lead caster. Like, he was, oh, it's so annoying, like, I can't remember his name, because I follow him on Twitter and he's actually really good as well. Do you know how I'm on about?
Don't ask me this. Well, I wasn't there. What are you talking about? That is a good question. I can't remember who else was there, because it wasn't. It wasn't the person that I was about to say.
Are you sure?
I'm gonna watch the broadcast. I'm gonna watch the broadcast back later and see if I can remember who's doing it. Who did it?
Hold on, I'm gonna find it now.
Okay.
I got this. Hold up. Bear with me.
Chat, we're pausing. We're looking through. We're scrolling.
It's Ian Chambers.
Was he in there for 2024?
Yeah, Ian Chambers, June 2024.
Ian, I'm sorry.
Veracity was really the reporter as well. Veracity was the reporter.
Oh, Jasmine was there. Yes. Yeah, no. See, this is the problem. I've done so many Twitch fucking... Whoop! First slip up.
Oh, no, we're good. No, we're good to swear. We're well past 5 minutes now. Oh, thank
God. Jesus. I've done so many Twitch cons and so many Twitch Rivals events that they are starting to blend into one at this point. I can't remember which one separate which. Like, was this San Diego? What? The thing is, I can usually tell if it was San Diego because I'd be forced to wear shorts because it's usually boiling, especially for a pasty white guy from the UK. I burn very badly, so I need shorts anytime that I go anywhere that's got sun and not grey cloud and rain. But like, I love doing them, but then it's like, oh wait, was Ian there? Oh no, it was someone else. But Ian, fantastic, fantastic stage host, done a lot of stuff outside of esports now as well, like some of the boxing events. He travels all over the place. Yeah, no, Ian is one in a million inside of the like broadcasting, especially inside of esports.
But that's what I'm saying. Sorry, so what I was going to lead into is like, I was sitting in front of them and they were all doing an amazing job. But I remember turning into AJ, right? Because obviously I cast with AJX quite a bit, and I cast with Bendo, who I mentioned to you before the podcast, who were both amazing people. And I kind of just remember turning to him being like, oh, like, see, if that was me, I would have done this. But the thing is, right? It's so, and he did a fucking amazing job. Like, I brought him on the podcast and I couldn't praise him more. Jack did such a good job.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's such a rare thing for Twitch Rivals to give that to someone. Like, Jack has never casted in his life and they gave him the opportunity, which I'm glad they did, but at the same time it's like, damn, like, but now they're comfortable. That's the only issue, right? Because they have Corey Wade, they have Kara, they have Jack, they have like you, they now doing Minecraft, they have other of people. Like, maybe I'll get my shot one day. The thing is, it's also like, I'm also just one of these people who, like, I'm so blasé. Like, I'd love to do it, but at the same time, I don't want someone else not to do it because of me. You know
I get you. I get
like,
you.
I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool to cast Switch Rivals, but at the same time, like, I'm more than happy if, like, they turn and pick someone else. And I also don't want to take away from someone else. Is like, but that's part of my overthinking. Like, the other person wouldn't mind. The other person wouldn't even know because they wouldn't have been asked. They would have asked me. But, like, there's the part overthinking thing that kind of does that sometimes. But, like,
I won't go too deep into the like the casting landscape and like what I've learned over the years of like not negotiations but like talking about getting events and then like finding out you get an event over someone else or someone else gets the event over you because like that's an entire thing.
But not podcast whatever or like not something you're going to on the podcast, I guess that's all right.
Yeah, like it can be. No, you're fine. Like it's fine. That happened. Like at the end of the day, the people behind the scenes are trying to like make the best broadcast possible, but they're only people. They don't have an exhaustive list of like anyone and everyone who is doing things in the space. And you just need to make sure that, and I know you're already doing this and this goes for anyone and everyone. You just need to make sure that you're visible to these people. And this is one thing which I did wrong for the longest of times. I thought people would just know I'm there and they don't. You need to make yourself visible. And that does sometimes mean sliding in a DM or ping an email over and just laying yourself bare and being like, hey, this is me. This is what I do. Here's some examples. I'd love to be involved in this explicit thing. Do that. Go on.
I don't know if I might cut this out of the podcast. I don't know. I might mute it. I might keep it. There's like a 95% chance I keep this in. I have actually shot my shot for the Twitch Rivals MCC just because I thought I'd give it a shot, right? It's not happening, and understandably so.
Did they get back to you?
Yeah, but the thing is, I contacted someone who, like... So I don't really have direct contact to, like, Twitch Rivals themselves.
It's hard.
Yeah, so, like, I have contact to someone who's, like, kind of... And it, again, I don't want to say too much. This is why I'm not sure. Like, it'll stay in. I might cut out some parts and make it all, like, obvious.
Yeah, you can cut whatever, any of the bits you want.
But, yeah, so basically, I reached out to someone saying I was interested. We'd already talked last year about it as well, like, because I just brought it up after the event. And I know for a while they don't really have much of a say in it. But it was kind of like more of a connection thing, like, oh, maybe you could bring it up. But I think, like, this is kind of where I learned that Twitch Rivals are kind of satisfied with who they have, which is understandable. Like, once you find good people, like, why would you get rid of that? Like, it's the big event. Like, MCC Twitch Rivals is fucking massive, right? But at the same time, at least, like, there's that. At least I've done the thing where I'm like, okay, you know I'm interested if you ever decide, like, oh, maybe we should switch it up a little bit. You know I want to do it kind of thing. And I stream with Facecam now. So I show my face. Which is also a really good thing. I don't cast with my face, but that's also because I'm doing all the management behind the scenes. So my face cam would literally just be me constantly looking to the left, changing scenes. In regards to streaming, I show my face. In regards to casting, I can cast. I just need to put the two together, which I feel like I can definitely do.
Absolutely. Adding some level of personality to this sort of stuff. And of course, that's not me. That was worded poorly. It's not that you need your face to be shown to show personality, but of course, being able to be a recognizable face.
Showing their face. Like, I don't want to shut down people's dreams. I just think it's significantly harder. I've always said this, even with content, it's just significantly harder to scroll without a face. If you have a VTuber, that's different. But like showing people, like I've realized that my view accounts have gone up because people enjoy watching a face. They enjoy seeing how you're acting. Because you get to over-exaggerate things as well. Like if you're casting with just a PNG tuber, it's great, but like I have to do everything through my voice, which is an amazing practice for when I do eventually cast and I put my face behind it as well.
Yeah.
But when you're casting with your face, you can do this reaction like, oh, like you hear me go, all you're hearing is noise. But if you see my face as well, I put my hand up to my face. I'm doing a short reaction. I've gone back in my chair. Like all of that, I feel like definitely improves your chances.
So I agree, but I would say it's less about showing your face during a cast and more being a a face of a personality outside of your casting as well. So like when you're casting and like when I'm doing broadcast, it's very rare that my face is shown on screen. Only in between games or like between matches where we're doing like face cam segments, if we're on the desk and we're talking about things which aren't about the game that's going on right now, where I'm present and I'm visible. It is the voice that is the main thing that like people are going to resonate with. I suppose Twitch Rivals, especially when it's at MCC, is different. Especially when it's at TwitchCon, is different because you are live there and people are watching.
That's what
you
I mean, sorry. That's what screens. I was more referring yeah. to as a whole, yeah.
No, absolutely. Clear, and, if I'm honest. No, I get you. That's fine. And I suppose I just want to, like, there's two trains of thought here, right? And I think I wouldn't say it's impossible for someone inside of the Minecraft space to, and especially for TwitchCon, to be faceless and to cast. I do think it can actually work, especially considering we've had a number of faceless MC creators over the years who have shown up to live events, of course, Rambo. Being one of them, obviously never like.
I mean, Sandwich Lord right? last year, Wolfie last year,
Sandwich Lord, yeah. Like there's loads of people, especially in like the creator space, who have never done full face reveals, and that hasn't hampered them. So I would say that yes, that is very it's great, good to hear that you've done face reveal and like your stream of face cam now. It's very cool. I wouldn't say that overall though that you would need to show your face for.
I mean,
for
I guess sorry, I was more meaning to say like I feel like it's harder. Like you're gonna.
I think
events like this are more likely to pick people who have already kind of put their face as a presence,
yeah.
as opposed to people who haven't. I'd like again, no, it was poor wording on my part, but you kind of helped back me up, which is nice. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Nice. All in all, Minecraft, thumbs up. Twitch Rivals.
Yeah.
But yeah. What do you want to yap about next? Go on, what's next on your agenda? I know you don't have any notes.
How
but...
did you even get into casting, like in the first place? Oh, you don't even call it that. Like,
that's
you,
a story.
You've been doing it for 7 years. So what got you interested in it? Why did you get into it?
I suppose, is it 7 years or is it 8 years this year?
Same difference.
same difference.
It was a long time ago. You were in your early 20s back then. Like
oh yeah, here we go. Nice one. yeah, so I started, what was it the chicken or the egg? So I started people going crazy just hearing that, chucking popcorn all over the place. I started accidentally. So there was a gaming lounge that opened up near me where I lived, and it had an open day Overwatch event. Now, I had played Overwatch quite a bit at the time, and they were just streaming the fact that they were open and they were live on Facebook to some friends, like on their Facebook. And in the background of that, I was talking to my friend about what was happening and explaining it to them. And then the following day, I got a message from the owner of that gaming sphere, or like that gaming lounge, who was like, hey, was this you in the background? I want to hire you to do this for like our Rocket League events and stuff coming up if you're comfortable doing that. And I was like, well, I've never done this before, but yeah, sure, let's do it. That then I did a couple of times, a couple of Rocket League, like small things, nothing crazy. And then because I started doing that, my friends who were in a Dota team, like a collegiate one inside of the UK, they were like, oh, no one's ever casting our games. Do you want to cast our games? Like, yeah, sure. So I did those. And there's some like old clips back on my channel of me and a friend casting over some Dota. And then I fell out of love with Dota. And I thought, you know what? I am in love with Counter-Strike. And I put a post up on Reddit, literally asking people, hey, has anyone got any demos or has anyone got any like games that I can cast? And I'll like record them and put them on Twitch, or I'll record them and put them on YouTube, or I'll like watch the demo back and cast it on Twitch so you can get your game casted and I get the experience. And then I got messaged by a organization from America called Adaptation, and they were like, hey, we have some like new talent coming up in our space, and we would love you to be able to cast it. We are still relatively grassroots, so we don't have anywhere paying you, but we'd love for you to be able to do it. And this was what, 2018, so we're talking a few years ago now. And I said, yeah, absolutely. The one thing they did pay me in was crates of Monster, because the games were at 3 a.m. So I was yelling and casting at like 2-3 a.m. in the morning, much to my mum's dismay, about Counter-Strike. And it kind of spiraled from there. I went from doing that to doing some like actual tournament events, from doing some tournament stuff to doing some UK stuff. Then they did a caster challenge for a series called ECS, which was, I think it's called the Esports Champion, Championship Series or something like that. That's dead now. But they did a caster challenge, and some really big names who are now now massive in the scene. If anyone knows, Counter-Strike Dinko was one of those. Dinko and Hawker were two who won that cast challenger and now going on to cast majors. And I won it on season 7, which was great. And it meant that I got to go to Wembley Arena to like see everything behind the scenes. And there was a chance that I was going to actually get to cast in the Wembley Arena. Unfortunately, that fell through. But the following week, I did some live stuff for another UK event called Epic LAN. And Epic LAN was my first like in-studio event. That then gave me some more connections to be able to travel around the UK for some more stuff. I flew to Scotland for the first time to cast an event in the back of a semi-truck, which was absurd and crazy. And we overheated because we both wore suits. And then... I kept casting, kept doing events, did some like major qualification stuff, but it wasn't until 2023, which I got my true first international event. And that was the Blast Paris Major European qualifiers for the RMR. And they flew me to Copenhagen and I got to work with some faces and some people who I'd idolized for the last like 7 years. Well, like the last 5 years at that time of me casting, and meet some fantastic people. I'm thankfully now able to call friends. And from that point, I've then been the guy to do these RMR qualifiers. And that was all until the Shanghai Major qualifiers for Asia in November last year, November 24, because that was the last RMRs. And they've now adjusted the way it works, and the scene is a lot more tight-knit. And where I've only ever been doing it part-time, it's quite difficult to be able to get events. So I don't think my CS casting days are over, but it's difficult for me to be able to find things when I'm not 100% in the game like a lot of my like peers are and a lot of my friends are. So it's been a blast, and I'll keep doing it, and I bloody love doing it. But it's difficult to find time for me to be able to do these events. But I realize that you asked the question of how did I start and not my life story, and I've spinned it into my life story.
I'm really interested.
But yeah, so that's kind of me. It's quite funny because I had a really good 2021, a really good 2022. 2023 was looking quiet until I got this like major qualification event, and then since that point it's only been major qualification events and like big tier events, which has been amazing, and shows that like the hard work that I put in like years prior has paid off. But since that point, it's also been quite difficult for me while working full-time and being in a space and a job and with a community that I love, to be able to balance both. So when I can, I find the time, but it does involve me taking like holiday pay off work to be able to go and do more work. So I found that in 2023 and 2024, I was burning myself out pretty big, because I was just having to take time out instead of relaxing, time out to go work and fly to another country to yap about a video game for days on end, which is great. Also, please, I need to sleep. So
I can kind of relate with the whole work, especially now that I'm working my job. Like I'm either doing 6:30 yep. till 6, 6:30 till 5, or 7:30 till 6. Like it's not exactly nice days. And it's annoying because like it's great and I'm getting money, but at the same time I could be doing content stuff.
Some have said you need money to live. I have heard that.
I'm also looking out to move out in a few months as well, hopefully.
That's the thing. So like, yeah, you've got to do what's best for you, and at the end of the day though, you've got to make sure that you have time for the things you're passionate about. And if you are passionate about content creation and obviously this and casting, then I implore you to find a way to make it.
I am, and you are right.
I would continue locking in, and even in those times where it feels really hard, because it's like, oh, I really need to take a day off. Like, yeah, you absolutely should look after yourself, but don't let that day off turn into not posting for months or years. And I feel like I'm almost talking to me years ago, because I would have loved to get started on like the streaming and the content creation stuff a lot earlier than I have. I mean, hell, I would argue I barely even started now, because I'm surrounded by it, and even more of it is overwhelming. But that's something I need to sort out. But hey, you're killing it. Let's keep doing it. And even, yes, you are working a job, it's going to be difficult. If you're passionate about it, keep doing it. And that's the main thing. Keep that passion. Keep it, and you're going to keep going. And I this sounds very preachy, but like, just do what you love. Just do it. Screw it. Fuck it. Who cares? Don't care what other people say. Just if you're enjoying it, hold on. Keep making cool things that you're happy about.
Exactly. No, I like that. It's nice. Thank you. My main thing is I'm hoping to move out with my partner in like 5 months.
Hell yeah.
The only issue right now is, so my sleep schedule is like screwed. cooked. Cooked, yeah. Yep. I mean, I'm self-diagnosing, right, through Google, which isn't the best thing to do.
Chat, I have a self-diagnosed, completely cooked sleeping schedule, I'll have you know.
Well, I was actually about to say, it's called short sleep syndrome.
Oh, well, there we go.
Essentially, it's like a regenerative disease where you can function on 4 to 6 hours sleep completely fine. And by that, I mean not like, oh, my sleep schedule's screwed to the point where I'm going to bed and I can't. I mean, like, as in, I'll go to bed at like 12 o'clock tonight. I'll wake up at 4:30 for work. I'll do a full shift 10, like today, for instance. I went to bed last night at 11. I woke up at 4:30, so that's 5.5 hours sleep. I did a full 10-hour shift of work, completely fine. I'm now sitting here recording with you, and I'll stay up till about 11 p.m. again. I feel completely fine. I don't feel tired. I mean, I'm drinking a boost, but I'm not even drinking it for the energy. I'm just drinking it because I like the taste.
Other brands are available, by the way, unless Boost wants to sponsor Insane Orbits, then yeah, please do.
Well, Red Bull, I'd prefer to sponsor me, if I'm honest. But yeah, like, I love the taste of Red Bull, but I thought I'd switch up to then get a Boost, which isn't good. I shouldn't just be drinking because I like the taste because it's caffeine. But point is, right, that's a good thing. But at the same time, I live with my parents, and my dad, who gets up at the same time as me at 4:30 a.m., isn't exactly for the whole going bed at 12 o'clock thing. I have to basically shut up about, like, well, not shut up, like, be quiet about 9:30 or 10. So when I do my shorts voice, I'm like, did you guys know that in the Minecraft movie, blah, 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 like, I can't shout that because I'll wake them up. So hopefully when we move out, I'll be able to lock in on content a bit more and do shit at like 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock because I don't have to worry about them. Right, like, for instance, they're away on the weekend. I'm doing something next Friday at like 10 p.m. because they're away for the day. Nice. So I can actually be up. I can do this thing that I want to do. It's like a voice thing. I won't spoil it too much because I can talk about it, actually. I don't want to, just in case it doesn't happen, because this podcast is coming out afterwards.
the tease.
Well, I think it's just like there's an event going on and they want me to like voice the winners, essentially, which would just be cool for like taking part in something. But at the same time, it means it's good because I can do it. It would be like 10 p.m. If my parents were home, I wouldn't be able to do it. I would, but like, not exactly. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, so hopefully, I mean, I'm kind of locked in on content, which is nice. I've taken like what you said before you even said it, which is good as well, like to
good
thing. But it's just about making it work. About making casting work. I mean, I wouldn't even mind, like, going back to what you were saying, I wouldn't even mind being like the reporter. Like, Veracity did an amazing job, but at the same time, like, I'm inside MC. Like, I do Minecraft coverage. I interview people. That's kind of up my alley. Like, if Carson isn't there, I do the whole interviewing thing as well, you know?
Yeah, there's other things to be able to lock in with, right? Which is cool. Exactly. Yeah, Jasmine's a fantastic host, and she's great. I like what she does, especially for Twitch cons. Yeah, absolutely. Especially for Minecraft. I don't see why they couldn't bring you involved for even if it wasn't casting or like the reporting side of things. That'd be cool.
You said you had a question for me before the podcast, which is never really.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we've kind of hit the casting development. Well, not even that. It was like the casting point of this. Of this yap. What inspired you, or like what prompted you to want to do casting and commentary? Like, why are you doing it, I suppose, is my question.
So I, like, in case it wasn't obvious already, I really like talking.
same.
in school, and it actually kind of fits with your name as well, which is kind of funny. In school, I used to get called Chatterbox Charlie, which, like, Chatterbox Cody, it doesn't really rhyme as much, but it works.
I get you, the double C's.
Yeah, exactly. So I was doing the comment, like the Inside MC stuff, and obviously interviewing people. And then I get turned around and it's like, it'd be really cool to kind of explore other avenues. Like, I tried writing a blog. It was cool. I did too. Realized it was really time consuming for something I didn't really enjoy that much. I enjoyed it, but like, I didn't enjoy it enough to kind of commit to it over other things. Yeah, okay, that was fun. I explored that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what if I grew my avenues? I mean, I used to play Rainbow Six Siege. Like, I wanted to play esports, but I never did. Like, I watched a lot of Rainbow Six Siege casting back in then. I was like,
yeah,
shit, this like is really, like, I never really got into the CSGO or Valorant, but I got into Rainbow Six Siege, and watching the casting and stuff, I was like, this is so cool. Like, I'd love to be able to do comms, for instance. Like, there's something happening, and I won't say, this isn't like a tease because I think you'll find out about it soon enough, but like, there's something happening, and if I do see that you find out about it, I'll DM you, telling you what it is.
Okay.
Coming up that I've been invited to for casting, which is really sick. It's nice that I'm finally getting like this opportunity, something a bit different, but it's gonna be, I'm quite looking forward to it. So it's gonna be definitely interesting. But it's just, I was just doing the podcast and I was like, it's really cool sitting down and recording with people. But what if I expanded my avenues and kind of made something a bit more? Like, what if I made Inside MC? Like, I have a business card. I don't know if you know this. I have a business card now. And on the back,
I'm gonna have to get one of those off of you when we're in Rotterdam.
So on the front is the Inside MC logo and my Planet PNG tuber with a QR code that takes you to the website. On the back, it says Orbit Podcast Coverage Casting. And then my Twitter account and email. So like I just always found it really interesting, the whole casting. And like sometimes when I go to football games or watch you on the TV, I was like doing like little mimicky casting, like, oh, they said this is the type of pun I would have said, like I was sort of chatting to Bendo earlier, right, and was like messing about like football puns. So again, you don't know who Bendo is, but for the average listener, they should know because of the casting and stuff. So I said something along the lines of, Bendo has previously said, do you watch football, Cody? I assume you do, right?
You'd assume incorrectly.
Oh, casting, really?
Football is one thing that's kind of escaped me. I'm an F1 guy, personally.
Okay, that's fair. But you know about Liverpool and Liverpool players, right?
I'm aware of a team called Liverpool, and okay, I know that at some point Mohamed Salah used to play for that team. Does he still play for them? that shows you my knowledge of football.
Okay, right. Well, anyways, so he's a Liverpool fan. So I said, so this was like me commentating like Bendo's intro, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Bendo has previously stated that he loves them tall, Dutch, and hard to get past. Not his woman. He was referring to Van Dijk.
Okay, that's good. Like, yeah, that's
defender
good
for Liverpool.
I know who Virgil van Dijk is. But yes. Okay. That's good.
There's another one that I sent and he really liked it. Bendo's hit the bar. This is like if he shot and hit the crossbar, right? Bendo's hit the bar. I'm sure that'll be the case tonight too.
Yeah, I know the truth.
Like just post event, like little things like that. Nice. I just think would be like that's what I want to do. Like little, like I know they're serious casting, but I'd love to get invited. So I feel like with the Tubberphone, for example, right? If I got permission to do it, and it, obviously I didn't say anything offensive, I think I could do like some funny like little puns and stuff. And that's kind of more like I'm a very sarcastic guy, Cody.
I would love to. I think that's one thing that we could and like the guys could improve on for next Tubberphone is like there was more that we could do on the desk, and there's more that we can do outside of the desk as well. Like I know Jack did some like pre-team interviews and stuff, which like pre-event interviews with the teams. I think that was great. But there's more that we can add, and like I'm just excited to see if that happens again. And that's the type of event where you can get away with that sort of stuff. There are some events, obviously bigger ones, where you have to like just take that more serious approach. But there's also events in which adding that flavor, adding those jokes in, is what makes it. So yeah, there's 100% space for that. And the fact that you're already working on like funny quips, funny like things like that, that you can sometimes weave into a broadcast, like that's good. I like that.
I got one more if you're interested.
Hit me.
I've got loads, but I'm reading out my best one. So Bendo played in Twitch Rivals about 3 years ago and he won it, right?
Nice.
So I said, Bendo's known for many things such as casting, streaming, and football. If he scores today, I wonder if it... Fucking hell. Sorry, one more time.
He's binned it. Go on, hit me again.
I'm editing out. No, I'm not. I'll keep him a second. Bendo's known for many things such as casting, streaming, and football. If he scores today, I wonder if he'll milk it like his Twitch rivals win 3 years ago.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. That's
so, like,
good.
Yeah, just like, yeah, again, like, it's just, I that's the thing. Like, I enjoy casting. So it does, like, it's, sorry, I'm talking about me. Apologies. It's your podcast. No. But you did ask me, right? That's
Exactly. No, this is the answer that I wanted.
I'll also, like, give you a bit of a quicker, better answer of, like, how going to, because I feel like I've kind of dodged that. I've given you my life story like you did. There you go. like so there was a tournament by someone called Bumpy Jack. It was only a tournament, it's like an event called like Couple Craft. So what's really cool is I'm getting to the stage where Minecraft events are asking me to cast. Like I won't say who, but someone reached out and asked me to cast, which is really sick. I'm saying yes when I'm available. But this was one of them for like this Couple Craft thing, and I was like doing a little player intros. And so Liam is like someone who was in it, and we was meant to sign up to MCC Rising 2 together. But then he said he couldn't make it anymore, which was completely fine. Then signed up with a new team for MCC Rising 3 and got in, right? It was just like how I lined up. We lost contact, blah, 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 blah. And I can't remember word for word what I said. It was off the top of my head, like I didn't write it down. I was like, on tour of the popular belief, Linky Liam will leave you on red. We were meant to apply to MCC Rising 2, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was something to link with the whole Couple Craft vibe, essentially.
That's good.
So yeah, basically, long answer short, I got into it because I felt like I could add, like you said earlier, something a bit different. Like, I like the Stephen Tries sarcasm approach. Like, that's what I...
Stephen Tries' intros for the charity matches are
That's what I look for. Like, that's when I was doing the ones with Bendo, that's like, he even said it, was like, oh my god, this is Stephen Tries-esque. And I was like, yeah, because that's what I'm looking for. Like, silly little intros for people, and then proper casting. Like, I don't know, like, I casted Mayhem, I think Mayhem 30 it was, with AJ, and he's always said that's our best one yet. Where it's just so clean, where like, this is happening, calling out calls, this, like, I like to play in events, don't get me wrong, but just something about casting them is so fucking fun. And I'm sure you can relate as well. Like, there's just something about it that just feels so, I don't know, to be able to successfully cast something, no stutters, completely witty, clean comms, like that. You walk out of it and you're like, damn, I did that. I talked for 2 hours straight or 3 hours straight with no mistakes. Like, damn.
It feels it when a cast and like when a game or a series goes right, like it's hard to do it perfect. I don't think I've ever done it perfect, and there's only, I would argue, a couple of casts and like only a couple of casters in the world who can do it perfectly. Everyone brings their own thing, everyone makes a little mistake, etc. But like, all of that sort of stuff just shows that we're human and shows that we're people, and I think that's quite cool. But even then, when you know that you've hit something, or like, you know, you've said something which is added to the level of the hype that people at home are gonna want to hear, that feels good. So yeah, like, there've been moments like that, and it's always fun when you realize that, okay, yeah, that was sick. Like, I've ended a couple of broadcasts with some of the people I've worked with and some of my friends, and like, we've taken the headsets off after we've like thrown to the desk or something, and we've gone, yeah, we fucking smashed that, actually, that was good. Which is great. To be able to,
I know,
feel
it was
like
a hot
that,
take, but it genuinely
that.
Feels sometimes better than actually like doing well in an event. Because like, the thing is, right, if you don't win the event, you don't feel too good. Like, if you, so for instance, like Minecraft events where there's 8 teams, right? If you come second and you lose in the finale, you don't feel the best. However, you can't really lose if you're casting. Like, it's just, as long as you do it well, like, it doesn't even have to be perfect. It just has to be well enough that people are interested and find it cool. Because like, again, this is how I kind of see it with like Inside MC content. Like, I'll be editing and I like find the tiniest mistake, but I only find that tiny mistake because I know it's me. Same with casting. Like, for instance, you might cast something and I might be like, oh, fucking hell, Cody, you did like a shit hot job. And you might turn around and be like, okay, this was bad, this was that bad, this was...
You're always your own worst
critic.
Your
standards. Yeah, exactly. So, like, no one else would have seen the mistake. Like, you might have yawned at the wrong time. No one's paid attention to it, but deep down, you're overthinking that for the next like 5 weeks. But like, it's a lot easier to do that than it is to like finish second in an event, just missing out on a finale where you're like, oh shit, like, damn.
This is one of the benefits of me casting, is that I am not good at Counter-Strike. Like, I'm like completely acceptable at CS, and like the games that I cast, like Valorant, I'm fine at Valorant. I think I'm all right. I'm never going to be able to play. Like, it's like people who can't play coach, people who can't coach cast, and like that's it. Like the meme of like, oh, people who can't teach gym. Haha, funny. Thank you, School of Rock. but like, it's always that thing where like I've never had that like driving. There's only been a couple of times I've had that urge where it's like, okay, I'm playing this, and that, again, that was Overwatch, where like I played in two like money on the line Overwatch events, and I have 100% win rate, and that's it. That's me done. I'm never playing another esports event again. I am finished. I have 100% win rate at paid events that I entered, and I won at them. Finish. I'll end my career 100, like, what was it, like 6-0, 8-0, whatever it was, and I will be happy with my £40 winnings that I took from Overwatch events. Like, that's all I need. So I'm happy in that aspect. But casting's fun. Being able to tell stories and build that up and bring the hype to moments. Even if sometimes they don't deserve, like, oh, it's not like a major trophy winning moment. Every moment like that, especially in Counter-Strike, deserves someone talking over it and deserving the hype, being able to be brought to it. And that's what I like to think that I can bring.
Yeah. A question that we like to ask at the start of the podcast, which is...
Oh, bloody hell!
It's really funny that I'm asking this, but I'm so curious. How'd you get the name Cody Casts?
So, we're gonna do the peek behind the curtain. So my name's not Cody.
Wait, what?
My name. Oh, there we go. When I was like 11, I asked my mum, oh, it might have been younger. I was like, mum, was you going to name me anything else? And she said, well, one of the names was Cody. And of course, being an impressionable 9, 10, 11 year old, any name other than my actual name is better than my real name. So I named myself Cody 1304. Cody won 304 being my birthday, 13th of the 4th. That stuck. I named that myself in that in Club Penguin and Habbo Hotel. And then it kept going. And I didn't stop naming myself that until whenever ECS was. So what? Probably 2019. And then from 2019 onwards, I was like, having numbers in my name to be able to say on broadcast, not ideal. So I cut them. And I was like, well, I cast, and Cody Casts has a good ring. Why not? And since then, it just kind of stuck as like an online name, like Cody Casts. I go by it on broadcasts and stuff. But I have been Cody so long on the internet that I think there are more people who know me as Cody than they do my actual name. My actual name is Kyle. But like, that's known information, so that's not like I'm like fully indoxing myself.
Mate,
like,
my Liquipedia page, crazy.
As my yeah.
You just
so
have a
like
whole other name.
Yeah, and everyone knows me as Cody, and like my girlfriend of 8 years, Jesus. My girlfriend of 8 years is like, she knows if someone knows me in real life or if someone knows me from the internet, whether or not they call me Kyle or whether or not they call me Cody. And she always found it weird initially, but now if someone says Cody to her, she knows exactly who they're talking about. And like, I just respond to both now. Like when I introduce myself to people at TwitchCon events, it's easier for me to say Cody because it's less of me having to explain it. So a lot of like the MC guys know me as Cody. And it was at it was post Rotterdam last year where Becky Mon was like, you're Cody Cass, aren't you? I was like, yeah. And she was like, but your name's Kyle. I was like, yes. And she goes, what do I call you? I'm like, you can call me whatever you want, but most people will know me as Cody here. So, all right, I'll call you Cody then. I was like, no worries. So like, that's the thing. That was like the turning point. And it's come up it comes up a couple of times, but like Tubbo originally knew me as Kyle, because that was before, that was what I met him at Amsterdam for the very first time. And I introduced myself as Kyle. And then we saw each other every TwitchCon ever since. And I'm sure he hates me by this point. But then at TwitchCon, the Esports Bootcamp, he was like, I didn't realize that Kyle, the social guy, was Cody Cast. I was like, that is me. And he said, well, there we go. And then that's how like the connection was made. So yeah, that was cool.
Social guy and connections. I think I can't even remember how I figured out you were as well.
Yeah.
I think it was through Discord DMs. I know. Maybe it was through watching your Twitch stream and your stream in Red Dead. There was some way that maybe. I discovered the connection as well. I was like, oh, wait, oh my God. And then all of a sudden,
it's like,
I became
wait,
all
this
over
guy.
Your timeline.
Look, I'm not particularly silent about what my actual job is. Like, I pop up.
Though, will be interestingly around it.
So for podcast sake, I run social media in the UK for a certain Purple live streaming service. You can grab that and you can work out exactly what that means, and the fact that I've talked about TwitchCon events a number of times.
And anything that he said on this podcast is purely Cody and not linked to anything regarding
that. Allegedly that is true. Yes. Like, oh God, I probably do need to put that in my fucking Twitter description, don't I, at this point? Well, but yeah, so it's true. I need to put like all of my takes are mine and not of any other distinct company or something like that. but that's the thing, like when I'm talking Cody Cast and when I'm talking through Cody Cast, it's me, it's nothing else. And when I'm yapping on the socials of the other thing, that's not Cody Casts, that's the admin of the social media account, which it just happens to be the same person. But you know, it was funny, I got to during the Tubathon, Tubbo did like a we're going live selfie with me and him, and I was like, that's technically work, so I retweeted it. And it was like, I finally got myself on the account, which was cool. But that's the job that I do day in, day out, hence why I'm so kind of, I wouldn't say connected, but like close to the overall MC scene, especially in the UK, and just like the live streaming ecosystem in general.
I could be like just completely waffling when I say this, but it feels like it's correct.
Mm.
I noticed that like the account, the certain account that you work on sometimes is does a lot in regard a lot it feels like it does a lot more in regards to Minecraft. And maybe I just get only recommended those tweets.
Yeah.
But it does sometimes feel like it, the majority of tweets are Minecraft specific related.
That's a problem if you've spotted that. Because
it
no,
could,
no,
it,
and
it
this
could
is
just
fine.
Be me though. Like, it might just be what I get because I don't.
Absolutely.
Because my algorithm is filtered, right? So.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Absolutely. But I think you are right to some extent, and I think one of the reasons for that is that Twitter is very surrounded by those by the fans of those of like the Minecraft space, and a lot of the big personalities in the UK streaming space, the UK and Irish streaming space, are Minecraft creators. I don't think that's new information to anyone. Of course, we have like your Cage Rules, who is massive right now, your Sea Dog VA, who is Welsh but lives in Japan, like, who is also massive, gets like thousands and thousands of people watching their streams, but they are almost like their own niches. In like Cage Rule does League and like does crossover every now and then. Sea Dog VA does a lot of IRL stuff and cool events. Of course, Cyclothon has just kicked off, which is epic. Dating the recording of this podcast. But then outside of that, if you're looking for a group, you would think FIFA or like the football side of things, like sports side of things, but actually it ends up being Minecraft. And you're still talking to about so many different streamers and so many different people when I'm yapping away on the socials, that it's not just that. Yeah, it may just come across as like sometimes it is just all Minecraft, and that's completely fair, because maybe some weeks it is, maybe that's like biggest thing at the moment and that's what we should be talking about and that's the people that we need to be talking to. But also, if Amesy makes a tweet, I'm absolutely going to be in their mentions and just being like either poking fun or having some fun there as well, because we have a good social media relationship, I would say, when it comes down to yapping away. And same with Tubbo, right? So I it would be wrong of me in my job to not talk to those people a lot if they are responsive, and I also like talking to them. I think they're really cool. So
and
why would
Inside
wouldn't
MC? Woohoo!
Oh, I need to unfollow that account. Actually, give me a sec.
You
want? Wow!
But okay, I don't know why can't you follow it? Hold up.
Let me fix.
I don't know what account you're talking about.
Inside MC.
Oh no, you follow me. You follow me on the Codycast account.
There we go. I'll do you one better. Done.
I'm not getting any
nice
notification. Wait, really? I don't know if that's actually gonna stick though, or are you just is that gonna stick or no?
Why would that not stick?
Because you only follow 280 people. Well, not 281. Wait, that's sticking.
Yeah, why not?
On the Instant Orbis account, I'm screenshot.
Yeah, why not?
Can I tweet about that? Would that be like dodgy, or am I allowed to?
We'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay, alright. That's kind of sick, actually. What's it called? question. What was I going to say?
Hit me.
I have lost. And I had it. Oh, that's it. Okay, this is like a two-part question. Firstly, do you live with your partner?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, this is the second question. Okay, nice. Do they also work from home or no?
Because
I know you don't. You work from the most part from home is more what I'm getting.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best bit of working in social media, right? Is that you can just chill at home. Wake up in the morning, turn on your phone. Oh, I'm working. Cool. Yes and no. Yes, she's home a lot, basically.
We had like a little talk before the podcast, and I kind of want to see if you're happy to talk about this. It's not, it's kind of part linked to the one thing, but we're not going to be talking about that specifically. We're just going to be using it as reference. You see what I mean?
Oh, I love alluding to things. Go on.
So we talked a little bit before about like, and you kind of hinted a bit, like touched on it a bit on the podcast about how content creation, it's like, you know, it's really cool, but however, you don't do it too much because of like the whole, you know, you just didn't really get into it.
Yeah.
Have you found it, and we talked about this a bit beforehand, have you found it like a bit harder, like, or like mentally taxing because of obviously being online and constantly keeping up with so many different niches? Does that it a bit harder to essentially kind of find your own niche or even want to be interested in doing it? For instance, like if I was running an account like that where I had to keep up with so many different areas, essentially like Inside MC is easy. I only have to track Minecraft stuff and ask what I'm interested in. But like, it's like a two-part question. Firstly, is it mentally taxing? Secondly, does it make it harder for you to find your own niche? There we go. Floor's yours.
Cool. Mentally taxing is a... I don't know if that's the word I would use.
It's a strong word.
But it's a strong word. Oh, a strong phrase. I agree with that sentiment, and I would describe it as such, yes. So, obviously, live streaming is massive. There is so much going on, and it's all live, and it's always happening. And staying on top of that is very difficult, especially when it's you doing it. That's just you. Like, there's a team of other people who run other accounts, and of course, we like other language accounts and stuff, and we have conversations, like, day in, day out. We get on fantastically, but of course, we all have our own niches inside of our local markets. For me, the niche is like, I know a lot about like streaming and like the streamers, and that's kind of my thing, is the fact that if I'm at an event, I can point to someone and be like, this is this person, I know what they do. And it's because I'm chronically online. But turning that off is very difficult because I'm very enthusiastic about what I do. I'm very passionate about what I do. And when I wake up and then start work and it's the thing I love, it's great. But then when you turn off from work and you're still doing that, it can be like, okay, I'm never actually turned off. Like, I'm never actually switched off from work. And that's even like today in this weekend where like I'm just scrolling on Twitter and I'm seeing things which are like, oh, that'd be good to talk about, that'd be good to do. But I shouldn't have that mentality, right? Because I'm on holiday. Like, it's the weekend. I shouldn't have to do that sort of stuff. I should be catching up on the Monday. That then does make it difficult, not for me to be able to find my niche, but to again, find the enthusiasm to do it myself, because there's already so much going out there for me to be able to live on social media day in, day out, that being my job. And then after my job or during my job, continue doing social media for me and my brand, the brand of Codycast and like the brand of like my TCG channel and that sort of stuff. Like, that's all different, but it needs to be done for me to be able to grow those things. So that's when your passion starts becoming a job, not your job becoming a passion, if that makes sense. But yeah, does that answer kind of what you were asking?
I just didn't know you had a TGC channel.
Oh yeah, I also run a channel called Cup of TCG, because we're like seven British lads, and of course cup of TCG. It's funny. Please laugh. All one word, Cup of TCG. We do
one month ago.
Yeah, it's not big. It's not that big.
Matter. That's good. That's cool though.
The videos we do.
It is funny. I laughed in my head and realized I didn't laugh out loud. I'm sorry. It was funny. It was a good joke. I just didn't laugh out loud. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I get it. I'm gonna tell my friend Callum that you hate his name.
Cup of TCG is good. I just didn't laugh out loud. Like,
I was at an event over the weekend playing this game. So the game that we focus on primarily is a TCG called Flesh and Blood. And it's still not massive. It's not your Pokemons. It's not your Magic the Gatherings. It's not your Yu-Gi-Ohs yet. It's still relatively in its infancy. It's only 5 years old. And I feel like we're beginning to carve out our niche and our production value and the experience that I have around broadcast from casting and like being surrounded by esports and being surrounded by streaming has helped me be able to bring that sort of content to the channel. And it's made some of our content the highest level for production inside of at least the UK, inside of this space, which I think is really cool. But of course, there's always ways to improve, and we're seeing so many people in this space make some great content, and I love to see them do well, and I love us to do well as well and bring some new things to the table. And we've got some cool things are brewing coming up soon. So yeah, I suppose when we're talking about making content and my passion and stuff outside of Codycast, this is my other thing. Cup of TCG is something which I love, and it also gives me a chance to be able to spend a ton of time with my mates and play some games. Spend way too much money on cardboard, which they must have seen us coming when they were like, damn, they will pay money for printed cardboard. Yeah, go on then, why not? Yeah, it's fun.
It's really sweet though that you hang out with your friends and stuff, and that's one of your main things. It is really really nice. Yeah.
This is the benefit of playing a card game, is that you've kind of got to be in person to play them. And when you're in person playing a TCG, you get that benefit of, oh, cool, I'm playing the game that I enjoy with my mates that I get to see in the flesh and blood. And that's why the game's called Flesh and Blood, is because they want the game to be played in person. They don't have an online client. It's, hey, no, you have to play it in person. You have to meet these people. You have to see people face to face, which I think is really cool. And I think there's a cool methodology for it, especially when everything seems to be more positioned now year on year to being inside of a screen instead of it being at a table with friends.
I feel like I'd really enjoy card games if I got into it. I just I tend not to get
it. Takes
into,
a lot of time.
I think my problem is I realize I get hooked on stuff too much. So instance, I don't really exactly have the most amount of time in the world right now. And it's for instance, when I got hooked on House MD, right? And I started watching it. And everything, I just binned off content for an entire month. So I needed the break anyways, but I took a break just so I could watch House. And that's the problem, right? I don't want to get hooked. I don't watch TV shows. I barely watch movies. I don't watch things. Because I know if I get really invested in something, I'll take out time elsewhere. So for instance, a card game, I'd get too hooked on it and I'd stop making content, or I'd stop spending time on content when I want to make content a thing. And I'm gonna be real, I have fun relaxing sometimes. I don't exactly have all the time in the world, is the only problem, right?
No, absolutely not. And you will have even less time if you're having to read meta reports and practice for events where you could win like 50 grand and that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Like, it does eat my life, but I really enjoy it. So I'm
and that's all that matters, right?
Yes, and that is all that matters. And especially if you get to do it surrounded by people that you enjoy the company of, that's ever important as well.
Did you have anything else you wanted to touch on then, or have you done a pretty good job at covering
your life? I don't think so. I think that kind of covers everything. Obviously, like, we yapped about the casting. I'm surprised we got onto the Cup of TCG tangent, but I'm kind of here for that. Of course, the thing that people may know me from, the social media guy for that certain Purple channel in the UK. Yeah, you know. Outside of that, I just want to say thanks. Like, thanks for bringing me in. It's been really fun, mate.
Thank you for coming on. I before we do the outro, though, I do have two Twitter questions for you.
Oh, we love a Twitter question, because I refuse to call it X. Hit me.
So the first one comes from Gem Draws. Big Final fan, as far as I'm aware, so they most likely watched you cast during the telephone.
Oh, love that.
What's the craziest moment you've ever casted? And I wanted to ask you this earlier on, but I knew it was a Twitter question, so I thought I'd wait.
Ah, okay. So... The craziest... Oh,
if
okay.
If you can't think of just specifically one, feel free to say
no, no. I can remember it. And it's not one moment. Well, I would say it's one moment, but it was spread across like a game and a series. So back in 2023, myself and a fellow UK caster called Naokai were brought on to do the Paris RMRs for Europe. Now, during this RMR, there was a team called Into the Breach, which was a UK-based team. That had two very prevalent UK players on it called Thomas and Cypher. There were also a couple of players on the team, Rallon, Volt, and Crucial. Crucial had been inside of this UK space for a long, long time. Now, in Counter-Strike, the UK scene has always been seen as a bit of a meme, a bit of a joke. It's never been taken as seriously as it should be. And we had been covering UK teams, and we know these players and have done for years, seeing them at these UK in sealed events. Now, them even getting to the qualifiers was amazing, and we were super like proud of them. But they went one step further, and instead of just the qualifiers, they ended up qualifying for the major. Now, me and Neo got the chance to be able to cast that game, but it was between them and a Ukrainian team called Bait, and it was absolute cinema. The mask slipped a little bit, because you're meant to come across as completely unbiased in these games. Of course, you're being paid. You're meant to like remain professional, be completely unbiased in all situations. Be like, congratulations to this one team, commiserations to the other. But when we clocked and when we realised that Into the Breach, this team made of some amazing talent from the UK and beyond, and had all of this backing, was about to be put onto the map on a major stage, the first team in ever from the UK to be able to make it to a major, we lost our minds. There are some clips of us casting that game, which I'll always be happy about, and that entire series, seeing them qualify for the major. They still had a huge kind of step to go beyond that, if they could, because once you qualify for the major, you then have to play through like a elimination format to be able to get it to the main stage. And then the main stage, the champion stage, is playing in front of a live crowd in Paris, at a sold out stadium. And they were able to do that, and they were able to make it to the champion stage, play in front of thousands and thousands against the French hometown heroes of Vitality. And while they did lose that best of three, you know, Vitality went on to win the entire major. Knowing that myself and Naokai played a part in that story and being able to tell that story throughout, was special. That was really, really special. So yeah, big up to the guys on that roster, because that was absolute cinema, to say the least. So yeah, that would be the best moment for me.
Also, hey, look, they lost to the winning team.
They did. Vitality ended up winning it, so the hometown heroes. The one benefit of that is that on that roster that won Vitality, there was... I'm trying to think if this is when he joined. I'm pretty confident that it was. Before I make a fool of myself, someone show me a team list. Where is it? Vitality, was Mezzi on that team at the time? Mezzi was not on the team at that time. Okay, cool. I will not make a fool of myself. So that was almost a full... It was a pretty heavily stacked French roster with a couple of like fantastic players from outside of that as well. So the hometown heroes won. But then after that, a UK player has now joined Team Vitality, who goes by the name of Mezzi. And he is an absolute king, and he's like the hope for UKCS basically, and is winning loads of events with them right now. So it all ended in a happy end for the UK scene anyway, which is what I like to see.
Very sick. Nice. And the last bit of questions before we wrap up for today. What is your hashtag one fear when it comes to casting? Like, what is your nightmare scenario? This is from the Shiny Dude, I should add. Shiny Dude is a VIP in my chat. He's a very
hell yeah.
very consistent watcher. I love the dude. He does ask questions like this, though, is the problem.
So. No, honestly, it's a good question.
Yeah, but still.
Interesting. What's like my one fear? The first thing that's popping to mind is like I would say swearing on broadcast, but actually you're allowed to.
So I have my fear. It doesn't matter
all too much anymore. What's yours?
So I played in a tournament. I was meant to play in a charity tournament a little while back, and I actually did. I played the first two rounds. Didn't eat anything bad all day. Didn't drink anything bad all day because my stomach can be really sensitive. Yep. But I decided, because I had it in my fridge, to have a zero sugar apple tango. Two rounds into the event, my stomach goes on me. I have to sub out. Is my one thing. Like, if I'm casting on like a stage or whatever, like I did in person casting, and I haven't like been really, really careful, I've let myself slip and had something or drunk something that I shouldn't have, my stomach going, and I'm having to leave. That's like my one fear.
Yeah, having to sub out is... It does suck.
It's not even a subbing out. It's just more so like my fear is me being stupid. Like, less the leaving, it's me causing the problem. Like, if it's just my stomach, then yeah. But like, me, I was stupid. I shouldn't have had the apple tango. That's
bloody,
the thing.
Bloody apple tango. There it goes. No, you know what? You know what, tango? We didn't want your sponsorship anyway. Get out of it. It's never time to tango. Fanta all the way. But like, yeah, like that, I suppose that is an interesting thing. Like, not being well and like that then coming across a broadcast in the sense of like, oh, I've just vomited on camera. Nice. Okay. Like that sort of thing can be bad. I think my one fear, I don't know if I'd call it a fear, because I've done this and I was like, well, pronouncing people's names wrong when you're on broadcast, especially if it's a big moment.
Or like saying the wrong person in a big moment as well.
Yeah. So that in certain situations, it can get hectic and it can get confusing for sure. But like, the one thing in Counter-Strike is that a lot of the players are from non-English speaking countries, right? So we get a lot of Europeans, and their names are not meant, or they're not built for English, and then like inflections and ways that you will say certain names may be different, and you may pronounce things wrong, and that you may just think, oh well, that's part and parcel, like that's just kind of is what it is. But I always, the one thing which I found really annoying and the way my brain works, hate it, is that if I learn the name one way, and I'm really bad with names anyway, if I learn the name one way, I will then default to saying it like that. And then it will get stuck. And this happened at events before where like maybe I'm not too privy to exactly how you say the name. And I do a lot of research beforehand. Now I do a lot of research beforehand to make sure I'm saying it right. Like I did this event last year and I made sure that every single player I was going to be like saying the name of, I'd like watched multiple casts of other people saying their names. And then what I found was there was this one player who people said his names like four different ways. And I said, well, this is you. I'm just going to message the guy. And I messaged him and I was like, how do you pronounce your name? And he said, it's like this. I was like, cheers. And there we go. And then that solved it. The annoying thing is Twitch chat gets caught up on, no, actually, this is how you say the name. And it's like, well, no, it's not. I've asked the guy and he's told me how to say it. So I wouldn't say it's like a complete fear. But it's like, I just feel bad afterwards. I'm like, oh man, like this person should be getting the recognition they deserve. And I've like kind of ruined that because I've said their name wrong.
Something you'd rather just not happen.
That's not one thing. Yeah, something I'd just rather not happen, right? So, but yeah, like that's, again, not a fear, just something that I knew that I need to improve on. And it's something that's like, ugh, that sucks. But again, something that is fixable and is something that I would highly recommend for anyone getting to casting. Make sure that you get like official guidelines on how to pronounce people's names. And I suppose streamers and that sort of stuff, it's quite easy because they can say their names, or they usually say their names. It's very rare that you'll be able to find like an interview with a player who they say their own name, or if they aren't like big enough or don't have like a background enough to be able to do interviews, or if they're like a relatively unknown talent, then finding that out can be annoying. But that's fine. That's life. You just got to do your due diligence. Due diligence. Oh, God. Also, mispronouncing words. That's one thing. Imagine saying that. Stuttering, yeah. I found that on broadcast that I just need to turn the filter between my brain and my mouth off. And that's how I can cast as fast as I can sometimes, which is dangerous because it can mean that you can just say the first thing that pops to your mind. However, it's just don't have those things in your mind. And then it goes well. It's just that easy.
With that being said, then, that sadly brings the end of this week's Inside MC. It's been a pleasure having you, Curdy. Thank you so much.
Orbitz, thank you so much for having me. It's been great. Thank you very much for the talk, and sorry for dominating the yap. I hope you enjoyed
the podcast. I can't take the podcast away from you.
No, that's fair enough. Well, I hope you enjoyed, and I hope everyone at home enjoyed as well.
Did thank you. Before we do the outro here, though, the full on outro.
I'd
just like to give this opportunity for you to promote yourself. So, like, for people who have enjoyed listening to you and may not know who you are, you know, being a hidden talent and all, where can people find you?
So people can find me over on Twitter at CodyCasts. Of course, over on Twitch as well, which I'm finally going to sort out my schedule. And now that I've said it on a podcast, I have to. So I'm going to be streaming a lot more over there. And that's CodyCasts _.
Red Dead after 10 years.
Red Dead's on pause, bro. Honestly, like, I got halfway through that game. It took me almost 35 hours to get halfway through that game. And I'm like, bro, this is so good, but I cannot keep streaming this. So I don't know what I'm going to be streaming next, but there will be streams relatively soon. But that's at Cody. That's CodyCast _, because some bastard sold CodyCast, and it's been a dormant account for ages. Twitter there, and I suppose if you wanna look at some cool TCG content, then over at Cup of TCG on YouTube as well. Shut up, God damn it!
Good, that is really good.
That's the reaction I was hoping for, right? God damn it, Orbitz. You're going to copy and paste that earlier.
I'm going to put it in the intro. So when people finally get to the part, they're going to expect it to be at that part. And just gonna
oh, there we go. And then you completely bait them. Yeah, nice. Oh, God.
Well, with that being said, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for listening. The next podcast will be out in 2 weeks if it's, it'll be announced on release of this one if it does happen. Either way, thank you all for listening. Stay safe. Don't eat too much bread. Peace.